You're so funny.
Luckily, I just told the guests how bad I am at clicking it. I said, well, I'll click all the clicks.
So. Yay. And they were like, great. Sounds
we
perfect.
We are on a backpack show first today. So not only the United States, but we have people in Canada today, in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and New Zealand, kia ora. So we have people in four different countries on the backpack show today. And Austin, Texas makes five countries. So there we go.
Hey, what? Paul.
Hey, Chloe.
It's not accurate. I
feel like Austin not is accurate. An entire other planet besides Texas. No. It's not even considered part of Texas. Hey, that's look, my incorrect. Biological father, Steve Brogan, is here.
Hello.
Coach Woodard's here from dreary southern Maine. It's raining. Coach. It looks like a perfect, it's perfect weather in all of the countries we're representing today. So we have quite a show today. We have Marlene Royal and Rebecca Corot from, oh my gosh, I'm going to get it wrong, Faster Masters
Rowing.
Rowing. So they're teaching, you know, that you don't have to give up rowing when you pass 40 or 50 or more.
The question is, why does everybody ignore older athletes when they do so much for the sport?
I know. They're there. They've got the big heart, the big soul, and they've got a wallet. They could pay for the younger rowers. So don't ignore them. We have marketing specialist and vlogger Roger Edwards. He's going to talk to us about back when people used to travel and what was that like.
I forget.
Can you imagine?
I stumbled across his walking tour of Prague and was like, oh, this makes me want to go places again.
Good day to travel, says my mom. It's pouring and rainy out here. I don't know. We might be locked up on the thing. So we've got a lot. We've got a lot to cover. And Carrie's working off a bashed up version of her technology. So could be magical.
It's so great.
Yay!
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Carrie Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Totally just went and Fonzie'd my light, too. Like,
I don't really know what Fonzie means.
You know, when something would break and Fonzie on happy days would just like,
oh, bang, it would work.
Yep. Yeah. And then it would work right away for him.
So you meant Fonzie. Like, I thought you meant knock it over or something.
No, I mean Fonzie. Like you go, and it
works. Elizabeth says she's going rowing at the gym later today. So that's a connection to our rowing team.
I miss the gym.
Nancy Ramsey from Scotland is a neighbor to Roger Edwards, probably. Roger's in Edinburgh. Janice says, hi, Janice. Hope you're back
Hello.
To normal down there.
Hello. We've been chatting on Twitter.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, as opposed to Clubhouse
or any of the other places that we could talk to.
Oh. Right.
Hey, you know, if you wanted to get that Clubhouse experience, you could just listen to us. We have a podcast, the Backpack Show podcast, on any platform that you can get a podcast on at this point. We're hosted by Castos. So if you want to put your peas in a pod, you can make your own podcast, castos.com. See, that's why it's peas. You ever wonder that?
No.
We have thebackpackshow.online because of the people at Get Online. So if you want a .online domain for yourself, 99 cents for the first year. That's crazy. Not even one US dollar.
If you left the http://// off, I bet people would still find it.
I bet they wouldn't. I bet they'd be lost in the wild like babes.
I think they could do it. I have faith.
So,
but 90% off, that is insane.
$1, you get a whole dollar, and then it's all fine. And then the very last one is this show is made on StreamYard. See, Brogan and Misa StreamYard. Our rowing hosts also have a StreamYard show. So we'll ask Marlene and Rebecca about that at some point. What's their StreamYard show?
They'll be like, you know what helps is having a computer that works.
That's what they say. Hey, there's Leslie. It's dreary in central Maine. Carol, we brought you a Canadian, so you're good.
We brought you a Canadian.
Fonzie is back.
I mentioned in the newsletter, but our sponsor, Johnsonville, is sending me some coupons, including some for Johnsonville, Canada, specifically for our friends in the Great White North.
Carrie went to bat and negotiated a deal with Johnsonville, Canada, to see if we could get Canadian sausage sent to at least two people, specifically two people. Peas in a podcast. It could be a good show for you, Chloe. Love it when you do that. Dora, sausages.
Hey, that's exactly it, that's, Dora.
You're it.
I was all like, right. Now listen, I've got a homesteader that needs sausages. So
we're going to grab, by the way, there's a lot of people here today. If you have not ever shown up at the show before, make sure you say hi. We don't know you're here. You get no credit.
And oh, stop it. Credit is redeemable for what? Sausage coupons?
Love. Okay. My admiration.
Okay. So you can buy love. Okay.
A free blog post with all kinds of high value links on chrisbrogan.com.
Oh, boy.
Not really.
No.
Okay. I knew there was a reason I came today. It's because we could talk about you and sausages. Plus, you know, we found another Canadian for you. All right. I'm grabbing Rebecca and Marlene.
Because there's so few to be had.
There's not really many around. Ladies, hello. We need to be better rowers. Why rowing, by the way? What makes the two of you pick this sport, you know, 5 years ago when you started?
It picked us, and it's not 5 years ago, Chris. Hmm.
Maybe six then. Okay, so rowing is tricky, says the former Boy Scout. But the rowing I did was in the, you know, stupid one man, like, I'm going to go chase a whale kind of boat. You're talking, you know, nice racing boats and all that. What's the appeal of that sport compared to any other thing I could get in the water to do?
I think with rowing, it's, first of all, you have a great sense of glide. So, you know, there are different kinds of people in the world out there. They're the people who like to glide and the people who don't like to glide, right? So rowing's definitely a gliding sport, just like skiing, something like that, cycling. And rhythmic sports are curative. So that's one of those, the rhythmic sports are going to pull you together, whereas non-rhythmic sports tend to probably pull you apart psychologically. They're a little bit different. But it's a total body exercise. It uses the most amount of muscles in your body than any other sport, next to cross-country skiing. So if you want to be really efficient with your training time, and you want to get out in nature, or you need to do it indoors, you know, rowing is something that can be really effective, and you can do it your entire lifetime. You know, I started when I was 14 years old back in the 70s and haven't stopped yet. So,
you know, we've just learned from Una the mermaid, a previous guest, that apparently you get really ripped abs if you put on one of the mermaid skirts and swim a lot with your legs together. Just saying, mermaiding.
Should another you fall out of the rowing, fit. You can jump into mermaiding. It's big.
Yep.
Exactly.
You're already in the water. So,
Marlene, don't you have all the Quebec fit. Province people here. Who'd have known? So,
it's, oh, great. Awesome.
Tony is from Quebec province, and that's Carol's over that way. So, Montreal.
So, I have to ask, the two of you started a business together without ever having met in person. That's,
isn't that weird?
And very weird. No judgment. I'm just very interested. How does that work?
I'm not sure. It's not so weird for me. Maybe for Rebecca, it's weird.
It's not for want of trying. I mean, we first met because I invited Marlene on my other podcast, it's called Rowing Chat. It's all about rowing. And we talked like you do backstage, and we kind of got on, and then a little time passed. Then I said, hey, I really like what we talked about. Why don't we do a course together? Let's do some ebooks. Let's do some videos. Let's do some training. And we spent a long time. It was like months doing an 8-chapter course, and we kind of got to know each other. And then 2 years later, I'd sold that business, and I knew I wanted to keep the podcast. It was the only thing I knew I wanted out of that business. I have to keep the podcast, and the buyer didn't want it. So that was fine. And we got back together again.
See, it would have seemed crazy before this year to go into business with someone you'd never met physically in person, but I think it probably seems a lot less unusual after the year we've had.
No, totally. Yeah, I was going to say, like, not meeting Rebecca face-to-face is I've been an online coach since 1999. I was the first person in the sport of rowing to become a remote coach. So the world is catching up now, right, with with where we are with COVID. But I had many athletes who I worked with remotely who I never met in person. And then all of a sudden, oh, we would meet in a camp, but maybe it was 5 years later or something. So I actually kind of got, once Rebecca and I connected, you know, we got quite, I think I would say, like, our conversation started, and it just doesn't stop. So that's really, you know, it just was very organic and natural. And I think we just had we're from really different types of situations, but at the same time, we're very similar. So, you know, I think that's a very rare situation. So.
Now, again, we're pointing out this is for faster masters. So we're talking about people who are a wee bit older. Why rowing?
It's only a wee bit.
Right,
you're
right.
Masters 27.
Yeah. Is 27 the start of Masters? Oh my gosh.
And in fact, in the US, they're trying to drop it to, they categorize you by age with a letter for an age band. They're trying to drop it to 21 for a double A band, Marlene.
Yeah. So in a, for our non-rowing population listening, the term masters in rowing means age category rowing. So basically, once you're past university, you can race in five or 10 year increments of age categories, and up to 90, we have categories up to 90 years old. So think of masters as adult rowing. I think that's another way to frame it.
So it's not just masters, like after 21, I'm having to race 90 year olds or something. Oh, okay. Because
You wouldn't be like, hot dog, there's one.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying my hardest to get the old people so I can maybe beat someone. But no, unlikely. My gosh, that's 21 to 90 ish. And so that, what, you just go through the alphabet? So yeah. The people, okay, yeah. So they're like,
yes.
At Z?
Yes. But the thing about rowing is that you can do rowing at any age. That's the beauty of rowing, because there's lots of different boat styles that are different stabilities, right? There's a racing boat, which is 10 inches wide, or there are recreational boats or coastal boats that might be 12 or 14 inches wide, much more stable. You can row by yourself. You can row with two people, four people, eight people. So you can go parallel play.
14 or you inches can be, wide?
Yes,
my butt won't even fit in that. Never mind row.
We have to
more
stop
than that.
Second.
You can row on a stand-up paddleboard nowadays. So you can buy a kit that straps on top of like a windsurf or a stand-up paddleboard. So that's super wide.
I don't have to fit my butt into one of those 14.
You don't.
No, you sit above it, not in it. Above it. We sit above it.
Yeah, you. Oh, good. Well, that makes more sense.
Oh, the boat's 10 inches, not my seat.
Right.
Well, okay, because my seat.
I was about to be like, never mind about rowing
underneath me.
It's never gonna happen for me.
I could row three boats at once by these measurements. I'm just a little off here.
Pandemic.
Okay. What makes and again, you're saying faster masters, is anyone over? Do 20-year-olds come and hang out and pretend they're masters then with you?
For sure. I mean, actually, we don't discriminate. So one of the things we run is a really popular Facebook group called Masters Rowing International, and I moderate it, and so I approve everybody who applies to join, and they have to answer a question, and you get these, I'm really sorry, I'm a high school student, but I'd love to like hang out because you guys know so much, and it's like, join, come on, we love you.
Oh, I would give them the boot. They're gone.
You're such a jerk.
If you don't have any
He's
silver,
like, rules are rules.
If there's no silver anywhere in your hair, you're not in this team. So, what makes this a great sport for aging people to come and hang out there?
Well, the first thing is you're sitting down. So it's much, your weight is supported, your mass is supported. And so anyone who's like got their knees a shot or they can't run anymore or they can't do basketball or whatever their previous sport was, a lot of them find sitting down sport. But actually, apart from the all body exercise and nice benefits like that, there is an incredible community of friendship around rowing, which is genuinely different than other sports. So people will join a group, which may or may not be a formal club, or they hang out online, like I said, in places like Facebook on the Masters Rowing International group, and they make the most incredible friends. And you kind of get to this position of it being an intimacy that's beyond just we showed up and we wanted to do a workout together. So people join for the community as well as for the exercise.
Got it. So people show up and it's an experience where there's a lot of camaraderie, I'm guessing, which is, I just started learning a little bit about the sailing community and it's very similar. Mm-hmm. Do you, you mentioned this, Marlene, earlier about people liking the glide. Do you have little fights with the sailors? Like, cause at least you guys can go no matter what. They need good wind. How's that work?
We like different conditions, I would say. Well, now with coastal rowing, people like to get out in rough water. But Rebecca and I, we've rowed Olympic style rowing, which is skiffs that are designed to go straight on flat water. That's we row on all kinds of conditions, but our boats are really designed for like higher speed flat water rowing. So it, it gives you that sort of, many people describe it sort of that Zen kind of feeling when you're really in a rhythmic sport and you really are rowing on very flat conditions. Our goal is like to not move the boat this way or this way, but just to go this way. So,
now, why do so many clubs neglect older rowers? Like, why do they not recognize the contribution they make?
This is a big topic. There are mainly sports clubs are constituted, number one, for high school kids who have to have an adult with them for safety reasons, and they have to have someone in a speedboat next to them. And secondly, they want often glory at whatever the national championships or the regional championships or, you know, the Olympics or whatever. And, you know, like a lot of sport, rowers are fiercely competitive. And of course, you come home with an Olympic medal and, you know, you'll be touring the high schools and you'll be telling everyone about it. But masters rowing is somewhat different in that we are going slower because we are old and we're getting older, but we don't lose any of the satisfaction of what we do. And as a result, a lot of the people who come into rowing are parents of the high school kids. They aren't necessarily people who rowed themselves when they were younger. So, you know, now is a great time to start rowing. If, you know, here's a great picture of a mixed group of men and women in the same boat. So you don't get that in any other part of the sport. They're like, oh, no, the guys are separate from the girls. And as a result, people in the club are like, oh, well, you know, you guys can have the oldest gear. You can have the old boats, or you can't have the boats until after the high schoolers have finished their national competition. And it's for me, it's not respectful.
So I have a few questions after looking at this. And by the way, Melissa's saying sailing and rowing are synergistic sports.
Well, oh, yeah.
I always want to fight. I always want to see what's the brawl
going to be. Sailor fight.
Carol asks if you listen to music, because I imagine if anyone plays that song, Don't Rock the Boat, they get pushed out of the club. That's what I would imagine.
Go search for rowing playlists on Spotify, particularly for rowing machines. Absolutely. There are wars over what's the best playlist. And, you know, back to the 80s always wins for me. But, you know, totally, Carol. And of course, music has that rhythm and rowing has the rhythm. So, you know, they really align.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I would never. I'm the opposite.
Oh. You don't you like it silent.
I want to hear what's going on around me. So
Libby said she's been rowing since she was 20, so about 6 years now. She says that she could say it's an incredible community. It's really hard to get injured, which is always
good to know.
Jenna says she may need to start with a kayak or a rowboat in case of hurricane flooding.
Yeah, row on the field.
Melissa does both. And listen, let's just ask it one more question before I get back to the rest of the comments. Coxswains are just basically really bad rowers. Can we just all agree? That's why they have to turn backwards and just look at everybody and say, go, go, go.
No, they're the only ones looking forwards, Chris. Rowers go backwards.
We go backwards.
I've been doing this sport wrong.
You have.
So coxswains are the only ones looking where they're going, and they have to keep you on beat. Why did they give up the drums? What happened?
That's saving weight, obviously. And if you've ever been in a coxswain seat, have you ever looked at a racing car, a Formula One car? There is no space in them. You know, it's the same idea. So they sit with their knees up around their chins and they have tiny butts. And yeah, so there's no space for drums.
So another job I can't do. Thank you so much.
I think it's beneficial then that you'd have a small coxswain, you know, at the front of the boat.
But coxswains do row. And actually, it's one of the nice things about masters is that people who've been coxswains earlier in life, or if you're short of a coxswain and you say, would you mind coxswaining for an outing? And people switch around. And so we can all have a go. And in fact, my husband, who is not small, coxes, but he takes a plank and he sits it across the side of the boat. So he's like sitting right up on a throne because he can't fit in the space.
I love it. I have to point out that Elizabeth, who's a sailing type person, says, I got my first gray hair at 15, dyed it blue. And it is true that my rowing friends let the sailors in. Rowers are fun to watch in downtown Austin. Do you train Special Olympics as well?
We do. That's right. So Special Olympics is for people with mental and physical handicaps, more mental than physical. In fact, I used to coach them when I was at Otago. And rowing has been a Special Olympic sport, I think, almost since when it started.
Yes. And I've worked with two para rowers who have medaled at the London Games. I wrote training plans for them, so I've had some experience there.
Wow.
I know I liked coaching masters. I started coaching masters when I was at Boston University, I told you, back in 1982. And at that time, Boston University had the only rowing program to teach adults how to row in the United States. Mm-hmm. And you could not learn how to row on the river in Boston at that time, because you had to be experienced. None of the clubs had learned to row programs. And as a university student, I was like, I don't want to coach kids. Kids, everybody gives kids attention, right? The juniors, they all get attention. I want to coach adults. I want to be able to have conversations with the people that I coach. I want to be able to discuss things with them in a different style of learning. So I actually started to coach masters athletes when I was like 20 years old.
I just learned that it's also good for menopause. So
it's something to look forward to.
Well, in all seriousness, it's not talked about much, and it's one of those things that possibly we should be talking about. So if anyone Googles rowing and menopause, they'll probably find an article that I wrote, 10 reasons why women should try rowing in midlife. It's very good for strengthening your bones, your bone density, which tends to diminish with all of us as we age. But yeah, particularly people find it helpful.
Participating in sports in general, though, is expensive. And so I'm a little bit puzzled that they would put so much focus on younger rowers, because like high school kids do not have a lot of disposable income, whereas older people do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, just slap those two groups together and maybe get one decently funded club, you know?
I think, Kerry, you've hit the nail on the head. An enormous number of rowing clubs are dominated by populations of those spans of ages. And in fact, I'm involved in an organisation here in New Zealand where we run regattas for masters. And at masters regattas, you're allowed to have beer, which makes great profit for the regatta organiser. And the profits then go into funding juniors who have been selected to row for New Zealand in overseas regattas. So they've been picked for the New Zealand team. So there's that direct cross-fertilization, which is particularly nice. The challenge mainly is that very few rowing coaches actually know how to coach masters. It's not the same. You can't expect someone who's 57 to be able to do what a 16-year-old can do. And so that is a big sort of mindset change, which is one of the things that Marlene and I spend a lot of time sort of advocating for.
There's so much to it. There's so much. One last question, and we have to transition, so we'll be booping you backstage. But Carol, who's always poking around, wants to know, are those family pictures behind you?
They are, Carol. How kind of you.
It's a very efficient stalker.
Dr. Ashley Bloomfield shirt, and he's the equivalent of Dr. Fauci here in New Zealand, and they call him the curve crusher.
Oh. Well, we can't argue that.
I've got a buy from a black woman shirt on today from Nikki Porche.
Oh, very nice. We can't argue with New Zealand's efforts. It's so crazy to see all these people hanging out with no masks, but being fine because you fixed it. Welcome to America, bunch of wizards. Okay, we're sticking you backstage. We're grabbing Roger. Thank you so much. Stick around if you can. We have a few more questions for you. Boop, boop. All right, Roger Edwards, you're coming on. I just have to do one quick thing, which is to say, Johnsonville, we're on our last days of Johnsonville. So if you want some sausage, Carrie@chrisbrogan.com. And she has just a few left in the sausage closet. It's getting small enough a coxswain could fit in it. So
PubSite, you're ridiculous.
Authors, you can publish your book on PubSite, pub-site.com. It's shut up.
You started.
I know. But you something authors, $20 a month after a 14-day free trial, $500 if you want
it. It's really super easy to use. Check it out. Stop it. It would actually be easier to build your website there and then write the book after, because writing the book is the really hard part.
Build the website, write the book. That's exactly how we do it.
If you build it, it will come.
It will come. Roger Edwards, save me, good man. How are you?
I'm great. Do you know, those sausages look so good.
All right. Don't you start with the double entendre. This right show there. Is going way off the rails. Forget it.
Well, nicely barbecued. I love the look of those.
No one loves a barbecue like the people of the UK and Great Britain and Scotland. No one loves to throw out a Barbie besides people who have to put an umbrella above it.
Well, the trouble is we don't get that many days of decent weather in order to have a barbecue. So you're right. We either have to do it inside or we have to do it under an umbrella.
So we have to talk. You had been doing this thing called travel and vlogging. This is where someone goes somewhere outside of their house, daring to risk all of the deadly things that you could find out there and then bringing a camera with. What was that like when that used to happen?
Do you know, I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, it's actually a year to the day today that I last flew on an aeroplane. It's a year today since I went on a train as well. And I think that before that, so in the previous 25 years before a year ago, I couldn't think of a week that had gone by where I hadn't been on a plane or on a train or on a boat or a taxi or something like that. So it just feels really, really strange not to be traveling. But there are lots of things that I don't miss about traveling, Chris. You know, I don't miss airports. I don't miss security lines at airports. I don't miss immigration lines. I don't miss all of the hundreds of thousands of shops you've got to walk through to get to the aircraft. But I definitely miss the cities. I definitely miss the people that you meet in the cities or on beaches or wherever it might be. But all of this travel vlogging stuff actually started as part of my speaking career. I don't know whether you know, whether you remember, Kerry, but we did actually meet in Edinburgh back in 2018. The day before the Content Marketing Academy conference. Now, I can't remember whether that was the one that Chris spoke at.
That was the year after, I'm afraid.
That was the year after. I'd spoken the year before, and I was due to attend in 2018, but I got a speaking gig in Serbia, came right at the last minute, and so I had to leave and go to Serbia, but I had time to meet Kerry and a few others for breakfast.
Serbians are nothing if not spontaneous.
And the thing is, I started doing the vlogs purely as almost by accident. I did a vlog when I spoke at CMA Live in 2017, and that particular vlog caught the attention of other conference organizers, particularly conference organizers in Eastern Europe, the Balkans, Montenegro, and Serbia and Romania and that sort of thing. And so every time I went to a conference to do a speech, I started filming around the city at the same time. Now, the aim was just to promote myself as a speaker, but actually the conference organizers loved the fact that I was doing this sort of city tour at the same time. And unbelievably, it became another reason why I was being asked to speak at the conferences. And the invitation to speak at the conference would often be accompanied by will you do a vlog of the city as well? So that's how it started.
Can I ask a practical question?
Yeah.
There's some shots where, you know, you've put the camera down, it looks like, and, you know, walked into the hotel or something like that. Yeah. And you could see people kind of looking at your camera, like thinking, is this a suspicious package? Or like, can I steal this before he gets back out? So have you ever had any mishaps, like where your equipment's just a little far away from you and you have to get it back real quick?
Oh, it's a good question. I think you've got to be careful. You put the camera down. The one I usually use for those sorts of shots is the GoPro, so it's very small, so hopefully people aren't going to see it or get alarmed and think it's something worse. But obviously it's a piece of technology, so you can't really let it out of your sight. I can remember putting my bigger camera on the platform of a train station, aiming to get a shot of a train coming flying through the platform. And I think I put the camera a little bit too close to the edge, because when the train came flying through, the camera went flying off in the opposite direction. Fortunately, it didn't get too damaged. There's still a few scratches on it. But you've got to be careful. So never let the camera out of your sight. Definitely not.
So if we see a shot like that where you disappear into the hotel, like a couple seconds later, you come springing back out and grab the thing.
Absolutely. running back out and to grab hold of it again. I haven't had anybody sort of pick the camera up and run after me. Hey, you dropped this. You dropped there. But I guess there's still there's a time for everything.
They're like tourists.
Roger, there's a lot I want to dig into. Looking it over, you know, and I spent some time on your travel vlog before this, because when Kerry said that she was having you on, I was thinking, travel blogging and marketing consulting, those are the same. I definitely want to talk about consulting in a minute. You have something that I find a lot of Scottish people don't necessarily express very well on camera, which is verve. You actually look like a lively person. You look like you look like Scots after six drinks, but you know, there's not a lot of emoting that goes on in Scotland as a whole. So you're playing sort of against character there. Let's start there.
Well, a long time ago when I used to work in big corporate, I'm now talking like 10, 15 years ago now, before we all had videos on our phones, before we all had cameras that we could, you know, can afford, I used to do quite a bit of video work, But obviously in those days, you had to hire a full camera crew, and they would have all the equipment and best boy grips and all of this, that, and the other. So I got into and used to how to be on video. And I always remember this sort of video expert said to me, one of the big problems of being on camera is that the video camera almost sucks the life out of people. So if you talk in your normal tempo, then it will come across really slow on camera. So they said, aim for about 130%, 140% of your tempo and your personality and your speed, and maybe wave your arms around a little bit as well. And therefore, after the video has sort of done its dampening effect, you'll actually look pretty good, and you'll actually look quite animated. But if you're just your normal, you know, calm and collected self, then I would imagine I would just come across like any other person from Scotland.
So have you turned it up now? Because compared to you, like, I look histrionic.
I always use my arms. My arms are all over the place. So I guess I use my arms as a sort of barometer for effort.
I really had a question right there, and then you made me giggle because I know what you mean. These shots are also very skilled shots. Now, some of it comes from you watching other people's things and saying, I want to make a shot like this. Some of it comes from maybe some background. Do you have background in making these sorts of films, or are you just a pure self-made wizard here?
No, I'm a travel geek and a film geek and a tech geek, and I just like watching what other people do. So yeah, obviously watch Casey Neistat.
I knew
it. Obviously watch people like that. You know, he does a lot of those shots where he's obviously put the camera down and he's walking past it. I have a very good friend, a gentleman called Pascal Fantoni. He is actually a film producer. And I remember him saying to me once when I started doing more sort of head to camera marketing tips, he says, everybody does head to camera marketing tips. Why don't you go down to the beach and do it there? Or why don't you go down and stand on the harbor side and frame the shot? And obviously it's such good advice, and it creates that extra element of variety and just makes it stand out a little bit. I'll see somebody who does a split screen, so they both appear on the screen at the same time. They think, how on earth did they do that? Well, you can go on YouTube and there'll be a tutorial for it somewhere. So then I'll have a go at splitting the screen and having two of me on screen at the same time, which is a nightmare for a lot of people. But wear a yellow shirt in one shot and a red shirt in the other shot, just so that they definitely know that there's two of us.
Chris, you have a yellow shirt you could break out for something like that, right?
I do, but you know what? This is not that shirt. So this shirt better be reading a little more parchmenty. This is the replacement yellow shirt.
This is Roger, clearly this is bone. That's the tone.
This is not, I could show you the stage for this. Peter McKinnon, I imagine, as well, Roger. I saw a few Peter McKinnon shots snuck in there as well.
Yeah, Peter McKinnon is incredible. Lots of ideas he has. And there are some genuinely, you know, some travel vloggers who have millions and millions of followers on YouTube. You know, people, there's a couple called Cara and Nate that I watch. Mm-hmm. There's another one called The Endless Adventure. And, you know, they're literally doing this full time. Every single day they're putting out vlogs. Although obviously over the last 12 months, they've probably shifted from international travel to buying a camper van and driving around the States. That's right.
They were going from the kitchen to the office today.
You know, technically at the moment, I'm locked down in Scotland. I'm not allowed to go out of the house unless it's for exercise. So I'm limited to, I can walk down the road. I can just about drive into Edinburgh and walk around and pretend that's my daily exercise. But as I say, I haven't been out of the UK for over a year now.
It's so pretty there, though, that even going out for a walk really feels like an escape, kind of. I get to walk around the block and look at about 50 houses just like mine.
I guess one of the things that it really does bring home to you, Kerry, though, is that you often forget what is on your doorstep. Now, just down the road from me, 3 miles away, there's a place called Dalkeith Country Park, and it is absolutely spectacular. And yet, until a couple of weeks ago, I probably hadn't been for about 10 years, and it's literally 3 miles away. And you think that's because we get it into our head. I've got to go to Montenegro. I've got to go to Croatia. I've got to go to Spain. But we've got so much on our doorstep. I guess pandemic has at least reminded me of that.
So I want to show your website, but I have to deal with a slight audience heckle.
You just cannot let it be.
This is the shirt, and it says color fossil.
F-O-S-S-I-L. You don't know which one you ordered.
I know what I ordered. It's fossil.
You don't know.
Now, here I am on Roger's site. So this is a little different than I thought I was going to get for Mr. Travel Guy, because it's also your Mr. Marketing and Finance Guy.
And we almost never have Mr. Marketing people on the show. So. Very unusual.
Let alone white males. So
yes. You're checking many boxes we actively try to avoid.
So. Oh, dear.
I
managed to slip in under the radar.
Because your walking tour of Prague made me happy. And because that place we went for breakfast in Edinburgh had the best blueberry pancakes I've ever had.
So they were superb.
I cannot believe I'm going to ask this question. Should people get into Clubhouse?
Oh.
Okay, good answer. Thank you so much.
I quite like the small intimate rooms. I've taken part in a few of those. To be honest, I think that's okay, but I despair of the millionaire, billionaire, learn how to build a 9-figure business in a week without doing any work type rooms that always seem to be absolutely full of people all the time listening to the same old, same old. I just have got no time for that, but I quite like the smaller intimate rooms where people aren't trying to out ego each other and they're actually having a decent conversation. That's quite nice. Whether it's got longevity with the Twitter Spaces equivalent coming along, I don't know. Maybe once we're out of pandemic, it will lose its appeal to some.
Well, your work would certainly, I think, suffer in Clubhouse because you use so many great visuals. Like, you could describe how pretty Prague is, but you know, it's a lot more fun to see it. So,
although it maybe he could cheat it. He could be like, look, I'm in Prague. There's a bird. It's pretty windy bird you've ever seen.
I'm in the greatest city in the world.
All right. I'm going to grab.
I wish you could see what I'm seeing.
I'm going to grab our rowers back, Rebecca and Laureen. So I'm going to put us all in a big little panel for a second. Hello. Hello. So where's the best rowing travel vacation you've gone on as far as getting out into the right waters?
Bled in Slovenia, Lake Bled, on the border with Italy.
Describe it, Marlene. You've got to explain why.
Yes. Well, Lake Bled, and I actually used to have a winter house there that I used to go to from Vermont. Lake Bled is an absolutely pristine 2-kilometer lake that has an island in the middle with a beautiful cathedral on it. And well, there's a castle up on one cliff. There's a castle at about the 500 meter mark up above. And then there is the island, the last 500 meters, there's an island with the church on it. It's absolutely stunning. It's situated in the Julian Alps, and it's about 25 kilometers from the Italian border where Tarvisio is. And by far, Tito had his mansion on Lake Bled as well during Yugoslavia before. And as you can see, it's absolutely beautiful, spectacular place to row. So I think that's been deemed one of maybe two or three of the most beautiful places to row in the world.
But you got to row so far to get there.
Well, you can fly to Ljubljana, but the nice thing about Lake Bled actually is it's one of the few places in the world also where you can hike up the mountains and you can actually touch Slovenia, Austria, and Italy with your toe at the same moment. So it's very, very close to where those three countries meet.
So I have a question for Roger. Have you been to Lake Bled? Do you have any travel tips there? What should we know? Have you thrown your camera off the side of that thing?
No, I haven't. But I tell you what, having seen those photographs, it's definitely going to be very high up the list for when we eventually get back to travel. That just looks absolutely incredible.
Yes, very easy to get to. Yeah, exactly.
For such a nice guy, very nice guy that you are, you could sort of be an evil Bond villain. I mean, you'd be the perfect guy to be in a castle like that. See, I think you're made for it.
Aren't all marketers really
evil
capable
villains?
Of being Bond
evil.
Villains?
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Totally. That's right.
Could.
And you could be protected by a series of rowers.
I do actually have a cat that's mainly white as well, believe it or not. She might, no, she's probably not going to make an appearance, but she's definitely the sort of Lucky. Bond, the Blofeld-esque white yeah. Moggy.
I see it. Oh, we're just getting crazy. When one travels, how do you bring a rowboat around? Like, what's the arrangements for that? Or do you just rent what's there?
You can rent one that's there. So every year, the World Rowing Organization organizes a Masters regatta in somewhere gorgeous. And as Marlene has pointed out, they really are great, great places to plan a trip. It's always the first weekend in September. And so, yes, they usually rent boats. But the trouble with a rented boat is that the depth of the hull is reflecting the average weight of the athletes. And so there's a risk that you may get a boat that's not the right size for you. So we have boat trailers, which are extremely long. So an 8 is 13 meters long. And so it splits in two, and you load them up and they tow them across the countryside. The big challenge 2 years ago, they had the World Masters Games here in New Zealand. And of course, you can't tow it across the ocean. So we organized, had a huge effort among local clubs here to make boats available to hire for visiting crews. And I was part of that. And trust me, it was one of the biggest spreadsheets I've ever built.
Now that sounds like a marketing thing. Spreadsheets.
Don't do it.
And Chip is saying, I'm glad Carrie has a meeting later today so she can't troll me and Jason Falls. You know, I do have a meeting, but keep it up. I might just be a couple minutes late. There's time to troll you.
And I just went looking for how deep a hull could possibly be because I'm pretty large. So I was thinking you're going to have a hull that scrapes the bottom of the Thames. If you're
I'll just get one of those when travel is allowed again, one of those chairs you bring to soccer games that you set up on the shore. And I'll just be like, yay, go you.
Go rowers over there. Yeah,
that looks tough.
Do you ever Good do bumper rowing? I mean, I guess that's another question. Do you ever do bumper rowing?
I think that's what you do on the stand-up paddle boards. But no, generally, you break a carbon fiber boat and it's really expensive. So mostly we avoid. The thing is, you have outriggers, we call them riggers, but on the sides of the boat, and your oars are nearly 2.8 to 3 meters long. So actually, you have an awful lot of margin for error. So you're far more likely to break an oar than you are to break your boat if you misjudge your approach to a bridge.
Absolutely. And in the US and Canada, we can drive with our boats, our singles, which are 26 feet long. We can drive with our boats on our car. But, your boat only weighs 30 pounds, though it's very long. It doesn't really weigh very much. In Europe, you cannot drive with your boat on the car. So you must trailer it. So there are people who actually have their private little trailers and put their single on their trailers and tool around Slovenia and Italy and Croatia, where there's lots of rowing.
So you're not actually right about Europe. The problem is the overhang. France mm-hmm. doesn't allow an overhang on the front of your car, so you need a very long car. Like if you had a stretch limo, actually, I've never seen that. That would be cool. Yeah,
that would be awesome. Right.
Roger, we fix it one. For me.
We need one.
Yeah, like one of those Hummer limos that's obnoxious, but you'd be like, I need all that. Like, really,
yeah, you need that my little pretty little rowboat.
Yeah.
You know, that's curse a the postcard. French. I mean, haven't you seen a croissant? A croissant is a hangover rowboat. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Okay. Listen, sorry, Roger. I have just one more rowing question before we get to the backpack question, and it's Melissa's fault. I was going to let it lie, but evidently there's this thing called indoor rowing. I've heard about it a little. CrossFitters seem to think it's cool. They make you do it a lot in between burpees. What are the difference between conditions on water rowing compared to indoor rowers, besides the pretty obvious less wet?
Dry. But, exactly.
If I've done a lot
indoor
of that,
rowing is awesome. I mean, lots and lots and lots more people do indoor rowing, and it's really satisfying. There's a rowing machine in every gym, and you can absolutely do it. You can do the exact same training programs that we write. You can do them in a gym. You can do them on the water. The thing about glide, which Marlene opened the show with, is the thing that you lack. So you can get hot and sweaty. You have obviously lots of people staring at you, and the challenge is much, much more in a rowing boat, because let's face it, you have the jeopardy of like, am I going to flip? You don't fall off a, if you fall off a rowing machine, you're doing something really badly wrong.
Oh, that stuff ends up on YouTube. People have done it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen Mr. Bean on YouTube on a rowing machine? That's worth it.
He's a fine gentleman. He's a fine gentleman. I'm going to close out that part with Chip's comment that France allows rowers to be hungover, but not their boats.
I like you already.
You make a fine t-shirt, don't you think?
You sound like a Faster Masters already.
There Chip is trouble. That's what Chip is.
Trouble. Capital C-H. Hey, we're at that part of the show where we do the backpack question, which is very simple. What goes in your backpack? We're looking for one item, either physical or metaphorical. It could be something like a great bag of tea. It could be something like sadness. Carrie,
you know what?
No. What's a good metaphorical one, Carrie?
Kindness.
Oh, you so.
I'm wearing the shirt today.
Oh,
from
yeah,
the
you are.
Where we got that answer.
Kindness is one, and then you could have something physical like an avocado. So I'm going to start with Marlene Royal. Marlene, what goes in the backpack?
Well, my long-term dream was to live on permanent vacation. So what I like to keep in my backpack is ingenuity.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Okay, Rebecca Carreau, what's the fellow rower going to say?
Mine is perseverance. I never ever succeed first time. It's a complete surprise when, like, Kerry writes back and goes, "Yes, yeah, sure, come on the show." And I'm like, "Why did that happen?" But diligent with it.
Because Kerry's weird. That's it's the answer to that one, Rebecca.
I am.
Roger Edwards, what do we need to stick in this backpack, sir?
I guess what's in my backpack is good old-fashioned simplicity. I have worked with so many companies over the years that get everything so complicated, and complicated just doesn't go down well with customers. And even when you're traveling, complexity of airline fares or airport layouts just drives me insane. So just keep things simple, whether it's the language you use, whether it's the products you sell, whether it's the service you offer. Try to find a way of doing it simply. And I guess one of the reasons why everything is so complicated is because simple is difficult to do, but it's worth trying to do.
I like that sentence so much. Claudia, by the way, must be one of your friends because she says somehow intelligently a 10-millimeter wrench, which I suspect also works well at an IKEA. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, I think so. Talk about simplicity. I actually was in a European airport that was just like a big empty hangar, but it had many gates off it. And I forget which country that was in. But I figured out after about a half hour, it took me to figure out that my little ticket had like a notation on it so I could get in a different and better, shorter line. And I was with two very lovely gentlemen who'd spoken at the same event as me. They were British. And I literally said, "Well, later, bitches." And oh, they were delighted. That was great.
Just representing the States. That's Carrie Gergo. Okay. I wish I were here earlier, so I could have started a row about rowing.
A row about rowing.
Well, I was trying to fix it for the thing.
I've listened to the Outlander books.
A row about rowing. Oh, and on that note, Chip Griffin, this is why we can't have nice things, by the way. I did want to say that I forgot to tell you one thing. I forgot to tell you about my grandmother. And one important thing about my grandmother that you need to leave this show knowing